there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere. You can follow us on Twitter at Bobby Fantasy Pro and at Mike Tagliere NFL Tags. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, nothing much, dude. It's a Thursday. It's really weird because I just realized yesterday that once Sunday hits and we watch these games, that we are a quarter of the way through the fantasy football season, and it's crazy. I mean, I know some people are like, "Oh my god, I want it to end," because maybe they started 1-2 or 0-3. But I mean, it was kind of sad when I realized that.
Yeah, that is a really big bummer. Unless you just got Melvin Gordon back, and then it's like, all right, the season starts right now.
Yes. No, I mean, I have him only in one league. It's a 14-team league, and I desperately need him to come back. I started 1-2. But for those who, you know, we'll get into it on the show, but Melvin Gordon is probably not going to be on the field this week.
That's right. And our guest is Jared Smola of Draft Sharks. He's on Twitter at his name, S-M-O-L-A-D-S. Jared, thanks for coming on the show. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me back on, guys. I'm doing good.
So this is a DFS show. We're going to be talking primarily about FanDuel, DraftKings, cash games. We'll touch on GPP at the end. We'll primarily be discussing running backs and wide receivers because that's going to make or break your week for these cash games. But Jared, I wanted to ask you, because the Melvin Gordon news did break, where do you have him rest of the season in these redraft leagues? Is he behind the big four? Does he join them? Are you worried about Austin Eckler?
Oh, I have him down in the teens. I think I have him like 17, 18 right now. I just have questions. You know, first of all, what kind of shape is he in? And then what's his usage going to be like? I'm not entirely convinced he's just going to go back to being the bell cow back. I think, you know, we've seen how good Austin Eckler is, so I think it might be, you know, something closer to like a 60-40 split in favor of Gordon the rest of the way.
Tags, what do you think? Because I've got him number 5. I'm on the complete opposite end of the spectrum. That's where I would have drafted Melvin Gordon. He was on pace for well over 2,000 yards from scrimmage last year. He just played 12 games, and he was still a top 7 fantasy football running back. I think he's going to play 12 games. I mean, Eckler was good last year, too, but Melvin Gordon was just that good.
Yeah, Melvin Gordon, I have him as the RB6. So, I mean, I have David Johnson in front of him. But the reason that I have him at 6, it's not because I'm like, oh my God, he's going to turn into that running back he was last year. But it's more so about like who I'm putting him in front of, because I don't feel great about Nick Chubb right now. That Cleveland offense looks terrible. There's not enough scoring opportunities where I thought there was going to be for Chubb. Le'Veon Bell plays for a crap team. Like, he's going to get some points, but he's not going to win you a fantasy league. Aaron Jones is in a timeshare. Joe Mixon's on a bad team. Like, there's so many people that I'm looking at, and I'm like, I mean, I don't feel great about any of them. So at least I know Melvin Gordon performs. And by the way, my wife and I watched the show Ballers, and Melvin Gordon was on that show recently. And that dude, like, I don't know if he put on some muscle or what, but he's swole, dude. Like, his upper body, like, his arms are massive. I don't remember Melvin Gordon being that big, but he looks like he's in shape. If that was recorded, I don't know how long ago it was, but he looks fantastic.
Yeah, so Tags, are you worried about Austin Eckler? I mean, he has been phenomenal. Why wouldn't they just give these guys a 60-40 split?
Yeah, I have Eckler at 27 among running backs, so I still think he's going to have value. I think they're both going to have value.
So don't trade Eckler.
Yeah, I would trade Eckler if you can get something like RB2 value in return. The question is, where are you at in your season? Is someone willing to trade maybe... I'm looking at the RB2s right now, and even those aren't great. It's like, does someone as a back-end RB2 or high-end RB3, like David Montgomery, does that really interest anybody right now?
I don't know. I mean, Jared, if you had David Montgomery, would you trade him for Austin Eckler? Because it sounds like you're fairly high in Eckler right now.
Yeah, I mean, I have Eckler right around where Mike does in the mid-20s rest of way. I would probably rather have David Montgomery. One guy I might look to trade Eckler for right now would be Kerryon Johnson. I think, he didn't put up a huge game in week 3, but the usage was there. And if he continues to get, 75%+ of the running back work, I think, he could still be an RB1 the rest of the way.
I wanted to add this in. Melvin Gordon only had 225 touches last year. And granted, that's with 12 games. But if you extend that out to a full season, I mean, we're looking at someone with just a little bit more usage than Alvin Kamara. He doesn't need a 3-down type of workload to be a beast because Eckler's always been there and Eckler's always been good. And he's always been on the field quite a bit. So we'll see how much they use him. They're not going to use him this week, so we don't need to talk about that for DFS. Now, before we get into the meat of the show, I wanted to tell you about Fantasy Draft. The rake-free revolution is here, and it's only available on Fantasy Draft. Rake, commission, management fee, call it what you want, but the days of paying 10, 12, or even 15% of your entry fees to the house are over. Now you can play rake-free only on Fantasy Draft, where 100% of entry fees are paid to contest winners. That's right, every single dollar paid in entry fees are paid to contest winners on Fantasy Draft. To access Fantasy Draft's exclusive rake-free contest, all you need to do is become a member. Fantasy Draft offers membership plans suitable to all levels of play, including the free player's first plan that allows for $100 in rake-free entries per month. And for a limited time, Fantasy Draft is offering a free 7-day trial on your first $1,000 in rake-free entries with their starter plan. As other sites continue to raise rake, prize pools are being squeezed more and more, making it harder for players like you to win. Those days are over. No more do you have to lose up to 30% of your bankroll. That money goes straight into the prize pools on Fantasy Draft. It's time to start playing your favorite contest rake-free on Fantasy Draft. Your bankroll is going to love it. Register at fantasydraft.com today with promo code FANTASYPROS to receive a free 7-day trial on your first $1,000 in entry fees. That's fantasydraft.com, promo code FANTASYPROS to claim your free 7-day trial. Void where prohibited, must be 18 or older. All right, guys, so we're going to start at the running back position for cash games. We're talking both FanDuel and DraftKings. Who do you like this week in cash games?
Yeah, I'm more of a DraftKings guy, so I guess we'll start there. And we'll start with the guy I just mentioned, Kerryon Johnson, at $5,400. So last week, he played 75% of the Lions' offensive snaps. That was easily a season high. And I think, that has a lot to do with the departure of CJ Anderson. Johnson saw 20 of 25 running back carries. Still saw just one target. I think that's the concern going forward if there is still one. Johnson did run a pass route, though, on 53% of Matt Stafford's dropback. So if that type of usage continues, I do think he'll get some more targets. And you love the spot here. The Chiefs are dead last in Football Outsiders run defense DVOA. They're allowing 6.2 yards per carry. So I think it's a real breakout spot for Kerryon Johnson. He's just way too cheap on DraftKings.
Tags, what do you think about Kerryon Johnson on DraftKings?
He's my number one play. So Jared and I are like lockstep here. I'm with you on Kerryon Johnson. Don't think that the last week was a bad week. It was against Philadelphia. They sold out to stop the run, and they paid for it. And Detroit won the game while playing Kerryon Johnson all those snaps. They clearly showed they loved him when they released C.J. Anderson. And at $5,400, when you get Patrick Mahomes in a dome, knowing that Kerryon Johnson gets it done through the passing game too, there's nothing to dislike about him. I have him ranked as the number 5 or number 6 running back this week. So to see him at $5,400 is an easy play.
Yeah, I'm looking at our model right now, and on DraftKings, Kerryon Johnson, 17th most expensive running back, just $5,400. He is the favorite play in terms of consensus projections compared to his price. We've got him at about 16% ownership, so this isn't like the lock of the week that everybody's going to use. Now, granted, that could be wrong, but most of the time, these projected ownership projections are pretty much right on the money. So I think we could be getting a great value here. If you don't usually play cash games, you're going for that $1 million prize or whatever, maybe this is a good week to play cash games on DraftKings. And by the way, you're going to hear me talking about these ownership percentages a little bit. If you want to see all the ownership percentages, it's part of our Hall of Fame premium package. And you can get that on the DFS Lineup Optimizer, which is going to tell you essentially all of our cheat sheet information, their value X. So like Patrick Mahomes right now is projected to score three times his salary, and it's going to help you build the optimal lineups and the perfect stacks. That's our DFS lineup optimizer, and you can find it at fantasypros.com/optimizer.
Jared, what's your take? Because like we should probably talk about him, considering he's going to be one of the most the highest owned running backs in the slate is Wayne Gallman at 4,600. I think he's bad chalk. I mean, Washington is not like if there's any strength of that team, it's their front seven or maybe front four. They've actually allowed below average in terms of like what teams are allowing to running backs. They've been below average for a matchup, and they've played against a few good running backs. So Wayne Gallman, I think, is bad chalk. And I really want to get this one out of the way just because I think a lot of people are going to be wondering about him.
I'm going to definitely be fading Wayne Gallman in tournaments where I think he's going to be, you know, 20 to 30% owned. He is an option for me in cash games just because of the price, $4,600. He's going to play a three down role. I mean, the Giants haven't added a running back this week, which is actually pretty surprising to me. So I think Gallman, you know, you're going to get 15 plus touches out of him. The Giants home favorites, even though Washington is pretty good against the run, I do think the Giants will put up points, which, you know, obviously boosts Gallman's touchdown projection.
You know, I'm looking at our projections, and in that price range, Wayne Gallman is 4,600. We've got Frank Gore at 10.3. Wayne Gallman's at 10.6. Adrian Peterson at 10.3, and I think that's a little bit low. Carlos Hyde at 10.4. Kenyon Drake at 10.2. All these guys are cheaper than Wayne Gallman. And then you can go up and you've got Chris Thompson a lot higher. Justin Jackson at 10.3 points. He's $4,100. Our model does not really love Gallman's value for cash games. And like you said, he doesn't have much upside as well. I'm entirely fading Gallman as well.
Yeah, I actually have Justin Jackson ahead of him in my rankings this week. Jackson may not, he's not as safe as Gallman, so that's the reason I could see playing Gallman over him. But saving the money on Justin Jackson, it makes more sense. Now, I'm usually not somebody that like ever even discusses the possibility of playing two running backs in the same team. But Jared, let's talk about it for a second, just because like Austin Ekeler at 8K, like he's a good play, but you're paying for him, right? And like the concern is that maybe they don't use him so much and then they go to Justin Jackson. So if you get both those, you're putting together for basically 12K. And I don't know if you do the whole 2.5X thing, is like that's what you're shooting for when you're talking about players. So when you add in these two players, it's like you're looking for 32 PPR points out of them to hit value in cash games. Do you think that's a viable strategy, or you think it's just too much risk in one backfield?
I think it's okay in this spot. Against Miami, I mean, I think it usually doesn't make sense. It could work here. For me, the running back spots are just so valuable, and I want to play Kerryon Johnson. I probably like Christian McCaffrey this week over Austin Ekeler. You know, Eckler's price finally got jacked up. He's up to 8K now. He was in the low sevens before this week, so I think it's okay, but I probably won't be doing it.
So on DraftKings, Kerryon Johnson does have a great price. Like I mentioned, he's the 17th most expensive running back. On FanDuel, that's not really the case. Now, he still is a little bit underpriced, $6,500. But I mean, you could go out and get Leonard Fournette, Josh Jacobs for that range. Derrick Henry's only a little bit more expensive. David Johnson is just $300 more expensive. He's the top value in our model, and we've got him at 28% ownership. What do you guys think about his matchup against Seattle for that price? 12th most expensive running back this week.
That's on FanDuel, you said?
Yeah, 12th most on FanDuel.
I mean, Seattle, their weakness is like through the air. I think that's like where you want to attack them. Like they haven't allowed any running backs to top 70, like a team of running backs. None of them have top 75 yards against them. And David Johnson's been kept in a block a little bit more. I don't know if his wrist is playing into that. I don't mind Johnson at that price, but it's just, I don't know if he's as safe as I would prefer. He might be a better like tournament option.
I mean, he's going to get a ton of carries.
I prefer David Johnson on DraftKings with the full PPR. You know, it's been pretty ugly on the ground for him. He's only averaging 3.7 yards per carry so far. I know he's way down in Pro Football Focus's elusive rating, but the passing game usage has been nice. He saw 7 targets in week 1, 9 targets in week 3. I'm sort of throwing out that Ravens game. You know, he missed time with the wrist injury. They were playing from behind. The Seahawks just allowed that big receiving game to Alvin Kamara, 92 yards and a touchdown. So I think Johnson could do some damage in the passing game this week, which is, you know, why I like him over on DraftKings with the full PPR.
Now, you mentioned the three-game sample size, 3.7 yards per attempt. Last year, he was at 3.6 yards per attempt. That year when he had 20 touchdowns, he was at 4.2. And after the first four games, he was below 4. You know, this is not someone who's been historically efficient, and it's not the kind of offense where he's going to score a ton of touchdowns. They're not really using him a ton in the passing game because they've got four wide receivers. So I want to mention David Johnson as another trap play. You've got Gallman as a trap play, Johnson as a trap play. I'm fading them both. I don't really love a second running back this week. I mean, I think you've got to use Austin Ekeler on FanDuel. just because, you know, he's fairly cheap and we know exactly who he's going to be. And we project his ownership to be by far the highest, but I can't fade him.
Yeah, I mean, it really comes down to, like, I'm not really interested in him. He's not one of, like, the core guys I'm playing cash. I think Jared hit on it. Christian McCaffrey's a guy. If you could fit him in your lineup, you play him at 8,800. Houston's not the same run defense that they have been in the past. Eckler's fine. You are paying for him. But Kerryon Johnson at 5,400 is the best value. So, like, those are, like, McCaffrey and Kerryon are probably the two best running backs. But then it's, like, to talk about what are some cheaper running backs? Like, if you're going to go, is it Wayne Gallman at 4,600 on DK where you're going to go? Or are you going to go cheaper than that? There's guys like Adrian Peterson. I know some people are going to consider him. I don't think you should in DraftKings just because it's a full PPR site. But, you know, is Gallman the only one you're considering down below 5K?
Yeah, Gallman's probably, if I'm talking cash games, that's where I'm going to go if I'm going cheap running back, just because, again, in cash games, I just want the volume. And I think Gallman's a better volume bet than the rest of those guys. Two other guys on FanDuel I'm looking at. The first guy isn't super cheap, but Marlon Mack at $7,300. I just think it's a blow-up spot for Marlon Mack. Big home favorite against the Raiders. Mack already leads the league with 61 carries. The Raiders giving up 4.5 yards per carry. You know, Mack's not going to do a ton in the passing game, which is why I like him better on FanDuel. But I think he's in play on DraftKings too. I believe he's like $6,100 on DraftKings.
Against the same scheme last year against the Raiders in Oakland, Mack totaled 132 yards on the ground with two touchdowns on 25 carries. And if for whatever reason T.Y. Hilton misses this game, they're probably going to lean a little bit more on the run game. So I do like Mack. I just don't know if I could trust him in cash considering his lack of involvement. He is running pass routes. That's the weird part. But I mean, they're 7-point favorites. How much are they going to be dumping down to running backs against that Oakland team? I like Mack. I just don't know if I want to play him in cash is all.
He does have three targets and two catches in two straight games. I mean, that's not big receiving production, but if you can get a couple catches out of him, that definitely helps.
Yeah.
So we talked about Eckler, Christian McCaffrey, David Johnson, Wayne Gallman, Kerryon Johnson. Those are the five players we project to have the most ownership. Is there anybody else on your radar for cash games, Jared?
I'm not sure I'd play him in cash, but I do think Devontae Freeman is interesting, especially over on FanDuel. He's $6,200, especially if Ito Smith is out. And then Smith was sidelined on Wednesday after that concussion last week. Freeman last week played 90% of the snaps, 16 carries and four targets. So if he's going to get that type of workload, I think $6,200 is way too cheap on FanDuel.
Tex, what do you think about Freeman? And I want to throw another name in here as well. Derrick Henry at Atlanta.
I like Henry. I mean, Henry's a good play. Like, you're just relying on those big runs a lot of the time. But
yeah, but they're underdogs, man. Doesn't that make you nervous about Henry?
I mean, it does, but I still think they could beat Atlanta, technically. Like, Atlanta's got some problems now. They lost Keanu Neal in the secondary again, so that defense is going to start allowing points. Derrick Henry on a track, you know, inside at Atlanta. In that stadium, there's a lot of points scored, and that's technically why I think Derrick Henry's a good play. He's also somebody that's seeing a ton more work than he used to. I don't know if his drop pass last week in the screen, if it's going to decrease some of his usage in the passing game, but he has been getting some usage there. But going back to Freeman, I'm not a huge fan of Freeman just because, like, I mean, there is a chance of a touchdown there for sure, but Tennessee's been a really good run defense over the last few years, even under Vrabel. Like, once he's gotten there, they've been like a stout run defense. And if you take away Leonard Fournette's one run of 69 yards last week, I mean, if you combine Marlon Mack and Leonard Fournette, they've combined for 34 carries and 48 yards. I mean, that's crazy. Those are two run-heavy teams. So Devonta Freeman's offensive line isn't getting much push up front. I know they've had some injuries on it too. So he'd be more of a tournament play than anything, but I'm not even really excited about him there though.
Tags, anyone else you want to throw in for cash games?
Not really. I think we hit on all the guys that I would be considering.
You know, I've got two others I want to talk about. James White against Buffalo is a very good price. Adrian Peterson in what could be the best game script of the season for Washington, going up against what could be the best matchup of the season for Washington, going in into New York to play the Giants. What do you think about James White and Adrian Peterson, Jared?
Not the types of guys I usually play. White I can see on DraftKings in a tournament because, you know, he can come out and catch eight passes out of nowhere. And I do think it's a game where White could be featured in that matchup against the Bills. Adrian Peterson just... no thanks for me.
I mean, if Case Keenum or whoever the hell is starting for Washington, if those guys are higher owned in tournaments. Like I'll look at the projected ownership as we get closer on Sunday. But if like those guys are higher owned in tournaments, like that'd be like a pivot to go to Adrian Peterson, because it's definitely possible where Washington is like, they're desperate. They're 0-3. Jay Gruden's trying to coach to save his job. And the best way to do that is give the ball to Adrian Peterson, I think, especially when you get down in the goal line. So, I mean, he could score 2 touchdowns in that game. It's very possible. And if he scores 2 touchdowns, he's hitting value. So it's not a cash play though.
Yeah, I like both these guys a lot for tournaments. We'll talk about that later. There's a lot of tournament plays I like at running back this week. Not so many cash game plays. Now, I am going to remind you guys of the plays that we talked about for our favorite cash game plays. Christian McCaffrey, Kerryon Johnson, Marlon Mack, Austin Eckler. I wouldn't stray too far from that. Some trap plays. You can use Wayne Gallman. I don't think that one's bad, but he's going to be really highly owned. David Johnson, I don't think, is a great play, and Derrick Henry does make me a little bit nervous. All right, guys, we're going to keep rolling here in just a minute, but first I wanted to let you know that we've got a signed Julian Edelman helmet that we're going to be giving away to one lucky listener. And if you want to sign up for that contest, it's really simple. Go to fantasypros.com/contest for all the details. It takes like 1 minute to enter. Again, that's fantasypros.com/contest. And that contest comes to us thanks to Pristine Auction, where they have hundreds, thousands, even tens of thousands of items that they auction off depending on the day of the week. And so you're sure to find some good values out there, no matter who your favorite team is, to fill your cave with. Everything's guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources. And if you want $5 off when you sign up, it's free to sign up, by the way, enter the registration code FANTASYPROS. That's going to get you $5 off. And it tells them that we're sending people their way. That way they continue to do these contests like the Julian Edelman one. Again, that's pristineauction.com. PRISTINE auction.com. Guys, let's go to the wide receiver position for cash games. And Jared, again, we'll let you start us off here.
Tyler Lockett is my favorite play on both sites this week. $6,300 on DraftKings, and especially on FanDuel, it's $6,600. Lockett comes in as our top value on FanDuel based on the projections over at Draft Sharks. You know, at this point, it looks like week one, where he was sparingly used, was the fluke. The last 2 weeks, he has 26 targets combined, a 31% target share. So I think he's not going to see a 31% target share the rest of the day, but I do think he's going to be, you know, up around 25%. He's obviously the focal point of this passing game. We love this Cardinals matchup. The Cardinals play so fast on offense. That means the opposing offense runs a bunch of plays too. Cardinals secondary still missing Patrick Peterson. The Cardinals have also allowed the second most fantasy points to slot receivers, and Lockett has lined up in the slot on 61% of the snaps this season.
You know, it's really funny because Tyler Lockett, 3 straight weeks now with incredible matchups. Pittsburgh is bad against slot receivers. The Saints, bad against slot receivers. Arizona, horrid against slot receivers. I think you've got to run him out there again. Our ownership projections have him at over 50% ownership on FanDuel. Second most owned player on DraftKings behind only Terry McLaurin, who we'll have to talk about in a second.
I love the call. When I started doing roster construction this week, I started with Keenan Allen. And the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, why am I not just going down to Lockett? I'm saving $1,300. And the matchup is arguably just as good. And the volume is probably going to be better because we know that the Chargers are going to win that game. It's just by a matter of how much. And if, you know, they jump out in a lead, they've rested Keenan Allen in practice with like a, in quotes, a knee injury, but I think it's more of like a veterans thing. They could just give him rest, basically, because this is a team that needs to come out with a win. They're probably going to run the ball and not throw the ball more than they need to. So I did go down to Lockett. I love this play. He's probably the best wide receiver play on the board right now, just because like I have him as a top 5 wide receiver play, and Jared hit it on the head here. It's just they struggled against slot receivers. They struggled against tight ends. It's all about that middle of the field. That's where you attack them. So yes, Tyler Lockett, fantastic play. He's a wide receiver 1 this week. There's no question about him. I'm willing to play him in cash, which is something I really haven't said about Tyler Lockett until, as Jared just said, 26 targets over the last 2 games.
And Tags, what do you think about Terry McLaurin? I mean, he's just screaming value right now. 45th most expensive wide receiver on DraftKings, 17th in projections.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. He just put up top 24 numbers against the Bears and the Cowboys, 2 defenses that haven't not allowed many good wide receiver performances. So now you're going up against the Giants, a team that legitimate. I think there's 7 different wide receivers that have already gone scored double digit PPR points, and that space, all you're looking for is 10 points out of him to hit value in cash, which you're going to get that, but we're looking for something bigger against that Giants team. So yeah, and the best part about McLaurin though is that if Case Keenum does get benched, if he doesn't play, whatever the case may be, the connection with Dwayne Haskins is fantastic. So that's like who Dwayne Haskins would gravitate towards because they've played together before in college. So yeah, Terry McLaurin is he's kind of like a must play in cash on DraftKings.
Would you agree with that, Jared?
Yeah, I agree. It's tough to get off McLaurin and DraftKings. A cheat code on these DFS sites is to play the guys who played Monday night the previous week, because it seems like the pricing comes out before those games, so they always tend to be underpriced. We saw it a couple weeks ago with all those Raiders guys. So yeah, I love McLaurin and cash. I would say in tournaments, if you want to pivot to some of the lower ownership, Will Fuller is the same exact price, and I think, you know, he has just as much upside as McLaurin, if not more upside.
Yeah, I think that's definitely fair. I thought you were going to say Paul Richardson, Tags Boy. I think that's a good call for tournaments too.
Fuller is definitely the guy that can change it. I wouldn't play him in cash though, just because the floor is just so low. And ever since he caught like that big pass in week one, it was like legitimately on their first drive, he hasn't done anything, and they're involving Kenny Stills more. Kiki QT is getting healthy.
I'm wondering if Will Fuller's just not himself, if he's not 100%.
I mean, from the ACL, I mean, but we see Cooper Kupp kind of like, you know, running all over the field and doing his thing.
Cooper Kupp is a robot.
Oh, it's ridiculous what he's doing right now.
He is so good, man. He's in my top 10 rest of the season wide receivers. I'm not messing around.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty safe every week, but I want to go back to some value wide receivers. Jared, are you with me on Christian Kirk this week? I think at 5,100, he's someone that you can play in cash.
Yep, he was my second guy I have here behind Tyler Lockett. Not sure what DraftKings is doing with his price at 5,100 bucks still. Kirk leads the Cardinals with 32 targets. He's fourth among all wide receivers with 32 targets. And I'm not scared of the Seahawks secondary.
Nope.
Yeah, FanDuel too. He's a ridiculous value. In fact, I'd say he's even a better value on FanDuel. He's 30th priced on DraftKings. On FanDuel, he's 34th priced. Going up against Seattle, they don't have much depth in that secondary. The secondary is a train wreck, actually, this season. Kirk's a great play, but then Larry Fitzgerald, same exact price. I'd rather have Larry Fitzgerald if I'm choosing between the two for cash games.
I think there's going to be a shift in that, man. Like Jared just said, Kirk actually leads that team in targets. He has one more target. He has two more receptions. It's just the touchdowns. That's what's gravitating people towards Larry Fitzgerald. And it's not to say Fitzgerald can't play well, but Seattle is a team that really doesn't have the depth here. So what happens when the Cardinals go four wide is, you know, they usually bring down a safety or bring in another DB. They don't have another DB to bring on the field, and they might be missing their starting two safeties this week, and Bradley McDougald and Tedrick Thompson. So, like, there's just a lot of things here. In Seattle, we've seen you can throw the ball on them. I mean, even Mason Rudolph, a guy that completed two passes beyond the line of scrimmage last week, he was able to throw two touchdowns against them. So, again, attack that middle of the field, Christian Kirk and Larry Fitzgerald. I think they're both good plays. I just think that Kirk is due for some touchdown, like, regression to the mean in terms of, like, some of those touchdowns are going to shift from Larry Fitzgerald to Christian Kirk.
And that's fine, but my difference here is the average depth of target. Larry Fitzgerald is being targeted downfield more, 10.5 yards per target. Christian Kirk is at 8.2. That's a pretty big difference.
Well, it sounds funny, but I think that's what makes Fitz the better play in tournaments, because he's getting the deeper passes and he's getting used more in the red zone so far. So I do think he probably has the higher ceiling, which again sounds funny because it's old man Fitz versus yeah, Christian Kirk guy. But I think Kirk, you know, and getting more of those high percentage passes makes him the safer floor play for cash games.
And Kirk can do a lot after the catch as well. I mean, he could take a play to the house. He's a talented runner when he has the ball in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many other wide receivers that I think are in play for cash games. We need to spend a little bit more time on the position. Julio Jones, if you're spending up, would you prefer him against Tennessee or Keenan Allen against Miami, Jared?
For cash games, I'm going to go Keenan Allen. I mean, his usage has just been unbelievable. Julio is safe too, just doesn't feel as safe as Keenan Allen. I would probably go Julio for tournaments though.
Yep, Keenan Allen has, it's ridiculous, 18.2 more PPR points than the next closest wide receiver, Julio Jones, by the way. That's ridiculous to have that much of a lead through 3 weeks when Julio Jones has scored four touchdowns. Like, we know what Julio does in terms of yardage, but yeah, Keenan Allen's on fire. Knowing that Melvin Gordon's not back, they're not using the tight end in the offense. Mike Williams, I don't know what's going on with him. Like, he's a guy that could score two touchdowns. We'll talk about him in tournaments.
He's got multiple injuries, man.
Yeah, Mike Williams is like a guy that you would definitely want to throw in some tournament lineups, because he's a guy that can come down with two touchdowns at any point. But the reason, as I mentioned when we started talking about Tyler Lockett, is that Keenan Allen, there's risk of game flow here where it's like he could go out there and dominate the matchup like we thought he would and catch, let's say, six balls for 75 yards in the first half. And then they just rest him the second half and they really don't need to. And when you're paying up, you know, what is he, 7,600, you're looking for a 20-point performance.
Yeah, I mean, I think Keenan Allen probably still too cheap on DraftKings, but personally, I like to spend up on running backs in my cash games and go, you know, cheaper at wide receiver with guys like Tyler Lockett, Christian Kirk.
All right, I'm going to name a few of my other favorite plays. Cooper Kupp against Tampa, $7,000 on FanDuel. Marquise Brown on FanDuel, 39th most expensive wide receiver going up against Cleveland. I think that's a really good play, even in cash games, just because his price is so good. And then we should probably talk about Kenny Golladay against the Kansas City Chiefs, too. Tags, what do you think about Kupp, Marquise Brown, and Kenny Golladay?
Yeah, Galladay's on my list. I just can't play him over someone like Tyler Lockett. I like Golladay a lot, but it's very possible that TJ Hockenson has a big game. It's possible that Marvin Jones has a big game. Like, there's so much possibility in that matchup. That's like one of the best tournament games to stack with tournaments. I love Golladay at 5,900. I really do. It's just Lockett is 400 more, and I just know more about that. I also think that Sterling Shepard at 5,800 is not a bad play. You know, he's 5,800, so again, we can go down to see McLaurin at 4,500, and it's like, okay, that makes more sense. But if you're looking for, if you don't want to play McLaurin, if you're really just like against it, then I think Sterling Shepard's a decent play at 5,800.
Yeah, I'm with you on Shepard as a nice cash game play. For me, Kenny Golladay and Marquise Brown feel like more tournament plays. Cooper Kupp, though, I'm considering in tournaments and cash. I think he's still too cheap at $6,500 on DraftKings. 31 targets for Cooper Kupp so far, and he has a nice matchup against MJ Stewart in the slot for the Bucks.
There's only one other player I want to talk about for cash games. It's Calvin Ridley. Tags, would you use him in cash games? Like, I know you like him, but would you use him in cash games?
After he's missed practice with a hip injury, like that's enough to turn me off of him. I do like Ridley's going to be more of a tournament play for me. He won't be in cash lineups. Like, his price is really good at 5K.
And there's too many other good options at wide receiver this week to use him in cash.
Correct. And that's the thing is, like, I was saving him for the tournament section to talk about him, but because like after his weak performance last week and now with the hip thing, he's going to be faded. He has a great matchup this week against Tennessee. Like, they play a lot of men, and he can destroy whether it's Malcolm Butler or Dory Jackson.
All right, Jared, any other wide receivers you want to talk about?
Yeah, I got one more on FanDuel. A guy I can't get away from, Sammy Watkins, who I know has disappointed over the past two.
Oh, great price.
Yeah, he's disappointed over the past 2 weeks, but he's still seen a 26% target share over the last 2 weeks, 21 total targets. He's 20th among wide receivers in air yards over the past 2 weeks. So the usage has still been there. It's just happened that DeMarcus Robinson and Mecole Hardman have made the big plays. But I still, you know, we saw Watkins' upside in week one, I think, at $6,900 on FanDuel. I think he's a great upside play.
All right, guys, let's go tight end here. I've got one tight end that I am locking into my lineup. In fact, he'll be my lock of the week. Jared, who are you using?
So on DraftKings, it's really two guys for me. It's Darren Waller or Will Disley. Darren Waller, $5,200. His usage has been unbelievable. He's 12th league-wide among all positions in targets with 29. He's seen 30% of the Raiders' targets. And this Colts matchup is awesome for tight ends. We know they play that zone defense, just sort of funnels action to the short middle of the field, to the running backs, to the tight ends. So I think Waller, you know, is going to see 8 to 12 targets in this game. And then Will Disley, I think he's going to be the chalk play at tight end, just $3,600 on DraftKings. And, you know, Disley's been good the past 2 weeks. The trade of Nick Vinette to the Steelers, I think, helps Disley's outlook going forward. And, of course, he gets the Cardinals matchup. Tight ends have just been smashing the Cardinals.
There's no possible way that I'm leaving Will Disley out of my lineup this week, Tags. Is that who you're using as well?
I mean, yeah, you kind of have to. Arizona's so terrible. We talked about Will Disley on the start-sit show yesterday. And at 3,600, it's kind of just like a give-me. And it allows me to pay up for, you know, when we go to quarterback, it's going to allow me to pay up for Patrick Mahomes. And every single week, and I know I'm jumping ahead here, but every single week, you know, we talk about these different quarterbacks and look for the cheaper quarterbacks. It's the same thing that we do in drafts, right? Like, you know, when we're saying, oh, late round quarterback and this and that. When you have a matchup like Patrick Mahomes going into Detroit, playing in a dome, like that's a situation you want to be a part of. You know, Patrick Mahomes with the Chiefs, like I saw a crazy thing. Ever since he's in any game Patrick Mahomes has started for the Chiefs, the Chiefs have scored at least 26 points. That's insane. And it's true. Going back to even like his, I think it was the week 17 start that he had in 2017. But yeah, so when you get guys like McLaurin, you guys get guys like Disley, like those guys allow you to pay up for someone like Patrick Mahomes, who is just basically a lock. You know, you don't have to worry about him. He just scores points every single week. And if you could fit him, awesome. And Will Disley allows you to fit him in.
Holy cow, man. I am never going to get over that stat. 26 every game.
Yeah, that's it's kind of ridiculous. And I think Detroit does have the firepower to kind of hang with Kansas City, especially knowing that their defense is kind of going through this transition. They're not getting as much pressure as I think they may have expected. I love that game.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes is still just $7,500 on DraftKings. I mean, it's just way too cheap. I think it's a bigger question on FanDuel. I think he's like $9,200 on FanDuel. I think that it's tougher to fit him in there. But on DraftKings, I'm sort of with you, Mike. I'm just sick of not having Mahomes in my lineups. I'm just going to start playing him at least in tournament lineups every week. And if he stays this cheap, I think he's a good cash play.
I'm also sick of just not using the team that's going up against the Miami Dolphins. Like, who cares if they're $10,000? We know they're going to score a billion points, and everyone keeps doing it. And I'm like, your process is all wrong, but it keeps working. So I don't know. I might have to do it. So I love Will Dissly, but our model says that Travis Kelce is the better value because on FanDuel, Will Dissly's $5,400. Travis Kelce is only $7,600. Now, that seems like a lot, but it's not that big of a difference considering how consistent Travis Kelce is and how big his upside is. Would you maybe use Travis Kelce on FanDuel over Will Dissly and the other guy you said, Darren Waller, Jaren?
Yes. Kelce comes in as our top value on FanDuel, too. And that's where it's important to look at the pricing. Like on DraftKings, Kelce is twice as expensive as Will Dissly, where on FanDuel, you know, he's only 25% more expensive. So, yeah, Kelce, if I can get to him on FanDuel, I think is the best play. But I still think there's an argument to be made. I mean, you're still saving $2,200 going down to Dissly. So if that helps you upgrade elsewhere, I think, you know, it's still worth considering.
You know, because Disley's such a good price, I don't think many people are going to do this. But TJ Hawkinson has a really good opportunity against Kansas City this week. You mentioned him earlier, Tags, playing against Kansas City, who was the number one worst defense against fantasy tight ends last year. He's only $3,300. And I say this pretty much every week. Could you use two tight ends, Will Dissly, $3,600, TJ Hawkinson, $3,300 on DraftKings, and just use all the more expensive plays on every other position?
I'm going to say no. I don't ever like, I mean, there's a reason we hate tight ends, right? It's because they're so unpredictable. And while I think that there is upside to it, like you can win a tournament by doing something like that, I want guaranteed targets. And TJ Hawkinson, I mean, one catch each of the last 2 weeks is not cash viable. Like that's just not. I do like him this week. I think it's a great matchup. And part of the reason that the Kelce might be worth it, even in DraftKings, honestly, is because like I've been going through like looking at this and like when you lose someone like Darius Slay, I don't know if Slay is going to play or not. He got in a limited practice yesterday, but usually a hamstring issue, it does cost you a week usually. So if Darius Slay is out, that's like the centerpiece of their defense, and that legitimately will change everything that they do. Travis Kelce, so the Lions, ever since the start of last year, in 5 of 8 home games, they have allowed 3 or more passing touchdowns. So it's like Travis Kelce has scored 1 touchdown, but he, like, in terms of what Patrick Mahomes is doing and what Kelce is doing on a yardage basis, he should have more touchdowns. And that's going to come when we don't have Mecole Hardman or DeMarcus Robinson catching long touchdown passes. So Kelce is someone that I'll always consider if you can fit him. The question is, can you fit him this week? You can. It's just going to force you to cut back maybe on some of the higher price running backs.
Jared, how do you feel about the double tight end strategy?
I think it's viable in tournaments. I'm with Mike. I wouldn't do it in cash games. But if you just, you know, especially on DraftKings, if you compare the prices of some of these tight ends to the running backs and wide receivers, I think in a lot of cases, the tight ends present more value. You know, I mean, like Will Dissly at $3,600, you're not going to find a wide receiver with his type of projection at that price. So I think, yeah, it can work.
And I want to be clear, I'm only doing it for DraftKings. It's not viable on FanDuel, in my opinion. I mean, you can do it for tournaments, but I think you can do it in cash games on DraftKings and definitely in tournaments. All right, guys, we'll keep rolling in just a second. But first, you know, I remember when I was in school back in California as a kid, and the cool thing was trading baseball cards with my friends. If you had the Derek Jeter rookie card, you were really cool and everyone wanted to trade with you. Now that cool thing is Bombas socks that bring out all the envy on the schoolyard. And it really isn't all that surprising because they're just the most comfortable kids' socks ever. They're colorful, literally bursting with color. They even have a little colorful bee on them. And comfortable, so comfortable, they're designed with several comfort innovations that make them feel better than any other kid's sock ever made. So send your kids to school with the socks that keep them comfy, colorful, and ready to take on the school year. And since Bombas donates a pair of socks for every pair purchased, you get yourself some too. And guys, Bombas just aren't for kids too. I love to wear them. I've got their performance running ankle socks, and I'm not joking. They are so comfortable. I can't even imagine the innovations that went into creating these because they're seriously that comfortable. If you want to get yourself and your kids some Bombas, go to bombas.com/fantasypros and get 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/fantasypros for 20% off your first purchase. bombas.com/fantasypros. Now, guys, let's go quarterback. I think this is an easy decision if you can find a way to afford it. And there's so much value at wide receiver this week, I don't see how you couldn't make it work. Patrick Mahomes is by far the best value on the slate. I mean, our consensus projections have him at 28.1 fantasy points. The next most is Lamar Jackson down at 22.1. That is an enormous difference. I mean, there's a bigger difference between Mahomes and number two Lamar Jackson than there is Lamar Jackson and number 17 Case Keenum.
Yeah, to me, Mahomes is clearly the top play on DraftKings. We actually have Russell Wilson as the top value on FanDuel at $7,800. And we've talked about how bad the Cardinals' pass D is and how their offensive pace sort of boosts volume for the opposing offense. So I think on FanDuel, it's going to be Russell Wilson for me.
Russell Wilson's a phenomenal play. He's like the other guy I would consider. He's down at 6,100 on DK. He's still a good price there. I do like him. It's just like, again, I can fit Mahomes. Why am I not going to do that? But Russell Wilson, especially knowing that like Chris Carson is dealing with some fumble issues. I know Rashad Penny returned to practice. I don't know if he's going to play. There's a lot of question marks about that backfield. But Russell Wilson's now on pace for 560 pass attempts. They're turning into more of a pass-happy offense. And if Arizona is able to score on that Seattle defense like we think that they should, they're not going to slow down the game, which means there's going to be a lot of plays had for the Seattle offense. So at 6,100, knowing that Russell Wilson is he even scored two rushing touchdowns last week. So the fact that he's willing to do that, the strengths they have on their team with Disley and Lockett up the middle of the field, obviously exploiting the weaknesses. And DK Metcalf has won some tough matchups on the outside too. So, yeah, I like Russell Wilson quite a bit this week.
I would agree it's Mahomes or Wilson. But if you're going cheaper, are you going with Kyler Murray or Matthew Stafford?
Stafford.
I'm going Daniel Jones if I'm going cheaper.
Okay.
Especially on DraftKings, $5,300. Kyler Murray, I was interested in, but he's 6,000 on DraftKings. That seems too pricey to me. Maybe it makes him a good tournament play if his ownership's down. But Daniel Jones on DraftKings, I mean, I don't want to put too much stock into one game, but he did play well last week. He played well in the preseason, and he gives us that rushing upside, which I think a lot of people have been overlooking. And the matchup's obviously good. He's at home. The Redskins are not good against the pass. So I think Jones, $5,300, especially for cash games, if you want to go cheap, I think he makes sense.
On DraftKings, I agree because of the price points, Daniel Jones over Kyler Murray. It's a lot different on FanDuel where there's just a $300 difference. Who are you going with if you're saving money?
I'd go Stafford because I could see a situation where the Giants-Redskins game is just like legitimately a dumpster fire. Like people are watching it and like, how did I tie my quarterback to this game? Like, it's very possible that happens, especially without Saquon Barkley. It changes the offense. So I'd go with Stafford. I know he doesn't have the rushing floor that Daniel Jones does, but he like that game script, there is no way that the Chiefs aren't scoring points in that game. So it's like you look at it and you're like, Matthew Stafford's gonna have to throw the ball. Like last week, his numbers were down a little bit against Philadelphia just because they were in the lead and they were just protecting it. But this game is just, it's too good to pass up a game with a 55-point over under where we know, and it's in a dome too. We don't have to worry about much of anything. So I'm gonna go Stafford here, especially knowing that Kerryon Johnson's a three down back. Catch the ball out of the backfield. That's like a stack that people won't want to use in tournaments, but you could put Stafford and Kerryon in the same lineup.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Over under on Stafford pass attempts this week, 41.5. I'm not saying that's the line. I'm saying that's my line. I'm curious what you would take.
It's a good number. I mean, the Chiefs, their opponents have averaged 39.7 pass attempts per game last year, and then this year it's 38. So knowing that they're struggling to run the ball at all, I mean, I'm going to go over.
I would lean towards the under. I do still think Detroit wants to be a run-heavy offense, and they play slow, which is, you know, it's not a major concern, but I do think it could depress the play volume in that game a little bit.
You're right, they do play slow. Phillip Rivers, I also think, is in play in DraftKings, like his price at 6,200. Not as much as some of the other guys we mentioned. On FanDuel, Phillip Rivers is not in play. He's $7,800 over there, same price as Russell Wilson. Guys, let's go DST. What are we doing this week?
I think DraftKings made it tough this week. I was looking through, and no one really stood out. I like going cheap at defense, as cheap as possible, especially in cash games. So if you want to take that route, I like the Panthers down at $2,300. And it's really just a sack bet. I mean, that Texans O-line is still bad. They've allowed 12 sacks through 3 weeks. The Panthers have 12 sacks through 3 weeks. 8 of those came last week against Arizona, but, I mean, I don't think the Texans O-line is much better than Arizona, so I think there's decent sack upside with Carolina.
Who's going to get more sacks this week, the number one DST or Shaq Barrett?
No, it'll be the number one DST. I like the Carolina. That's probably my cash defense as well. They're 2,300. They're third in the league in sacks right now. And yeah, so Deshaun Watson's just holding on to the ball for far too long. That's what it comes down to. And he's taking a lot of those sacks are on him. But it is what it is. And Carolina's going to get after him just the way they got after, you know, like they have this year. So with the change, they're doing like this hybrid scheme now with Ron Rivera. He's been more open to change. And it was something they struggled with. They didn't get a pass rush last year, but so far what they've done has worked. And 2300 allows you to do some big things at running back and, you know, get Mahomes in your lineup.
Our model's pretty fond of the Tennessee Titans. I agree on DraftKings. It's the Carolina Panthers. I'm not really seeing anybody that stands out to me. There's a couple GPP DSTs that I'm in love with this week, but I'm probably going to be spending on the Los Angeles Chargers because I have so much money with all the value at wide receiver and running back.
Never a bad idea to attack Miami.
Yeah, and tight end with Will Disley. So I've got the Chargers on FanDuel right now. Again, I agree on DraftKings with the Carolina Panthers. Guys, let's turn it around here and go GPP. So we'll start at the DST position. Tags, who do you like?
I like Denver at 2,900 against Jacksonville. They're playing at home. That team has just, they have too much talent on the front four to not have a sack or a turnover. And eventually that's going to flip and people are going to be like, oh, okay, there it is. And I think it's possible looking at the tackle situation, like Juwan Taylor at right tackle against Von Miller. That's going to end poorly for the Jags. They match up well at cornerback with because DJ Chark, if he's taken away by Chris Harris Jr., that's going to leave Minshew in some tougher spots. We haven't seen Leonard Fournette do anything. It's like painful to watch him right now. So Denver at 2,900, I think they're a really good play. I'm going to mention one more, the Rams at 3,500 against Jameis Winston, who it kind of appears he might be without Chris Godwin this week. He's not practicing again.
Interesting. Okay, that's a good call.
Yeah, the Rams are the team I had down even before finding out about Godwin there. It's Jameis Winston. He's looked pretty good the past 2 weeks, but he can still throw up a dud at any time. And I think it's a pretty big mismatch on the Rams D-line versus the Bucks O-line. Tampa's allowed three plus sacks in all three games so far this season.
I've got three of them, guys. I got the Kansas City Chiefs. You can use them any week. They're going to be playing from ahead. Stafford's going to have to throw the ball a ton. And when that happens, there's an increased chance for sacks and interceptions. One of the other teams I like is the Chicago Bears against Minnesota. Like, it's not a great matchup. But again, when Kirk Cousins is under pressure, when he has to throw the ball more, and if Chicago has a lead, he's going to have to throw the ball more. I could see the Chicago Bears picking him off, taking one to the house. And if, of course, it's the Chicago Bears, so they've got a nice floor as well. And then finally, the Cleveland Browns at Baltimore. Baltimore are heavy favorites here. It's very likely they're going to be playing from ahead, but that still leaves a 20-25% chance Cleveland is playing from ahead. And if they are, with Lamar Jackson passing the ball, I know he was really good in the first 2 weeks against Miami and Arizona, and then in week three he got Kansas City and he didn't look good, not even at all against Kansas City. I think there's a chance that he melts down this week if he has to throw the ball a lot. So I'm going to have some exposure to the Cleveland Browns, who we've got at 0.1% projected ownership against the Ravens. So hopefully that can be a big winner for me.
Cleveland's got to get their secondary healthy, though. I know.
They got to get everything healthy, yeah.
Denzel Ward and Greedy were out.
Yeah, they're both out on Wednesday, so.
All right, guys, tight end. And I already mentioned the guys that I like. It's either Disley, Kelsey, or TJ Hockenson. I don't really get too cute at tight end in GPP because the top plays are always just so easy.
Yeah, TJ Hockenson is actually the guy I had written down as my GPP tight end play. I think he's a great pivot off of Will Disley. The Chiefs have allowed a league-high 26 catches to tight ends. They've also allowed the fourth most receiving yards to tight end so far.
Anyone else you like, Tex?
Gerald Everett, TJ Hockenson, those are the cheaper ones that I would think about. And then, like, I don't even know what the ownership's going to be for someone like Evan Engram, but I would imagine it's going to be higher, that he's not a tournament play, but I don't want to play him in cash either. The reason I wanted to bring him up, because I don't think he's a bad play at all. It's just a matter of, like, what's his ownership going to be? Is he safe enough for cash? Does he let you do some things with your lineup? I mean, he looks like to be a safety valve for Daniel Jones.
He's got 30 targets so far, by the way.
But yeah, Evan Engram looked better than I think he has in a long time last week. Like, he was snatching balls out of the air. He actually said after the game, he's like, I think I ran faster than I have in my entire career. And per Next Gen Stats, he actually did. So it's like, maybe the team is just re-energized by Daniel Jones taking over. But Engram is, I don't think he's a bad tournament play.
I guess I do have two other names. OJ Howard going up against the Rams if Chris Godwin is out. It's an interesting one. Eric Ebron against Oakland. We know he can get in the end zone multiple times. We know Oakland's bad at defending tight ends. So that one is interesting. Again, he's really cheap too. Let's go quarterback now, and then we'll go running back, wide receiver.
My tournament play at quarterback is Kyler Murray, and we talked about him a little bit there previously. I do think he's probably overpriced on DraftKings, but I don't mind playing overpriced guys in tournaments because I do think it means their ownership is going to be lower. Murray was pretty popular last week. He disappointed, still scored like 19 DraftKings points. So, we finally saw the rushing unlocked. He had 69 rushing yards. I think he's capable of that type of rushing production every week. And just the volume's been there for him. He leads the league with 137 passing attempts. Just a 2.9% touchdown rate for Kyler Murray so far. That's going to climb. So I think he's due for some positive touchdown regression.
All right, Tex, who do you like in GPP at quarterback?
I mean, Stafford is a phenomenal play. I mean, I'll go back to him any day, and knowing that his ownership will be down because Daniel Jones is a little bit cheaper. And if you really, you know, you felt really ballsy, you can go down to Case Keenum at 4,900 if he returns to practice, because like that Giants defense, I've called them, they're the Dolphins light. And would you start a quarterback against the Dolphins if he was 4,900? Probably. I mean, like, let's be honest about it. And knowing that the run game is struggling a little bit, Adrian Peterson is not the type to break 90-yard runs for touchdowns anymore. So Case Keenum at 4,900 is somewhat interesting, but I don't know, man. I want the guy who's going to score the most points, and I'm fairly certain that's going to be Patrick Mahomes.
Right. Yes. Yep. I think so as well. Get creative at the wide receiver and running back positions, not quarterback, because we know Mahomes is going to be right up there around 30 points.
There's always like diverse ownership at quarterback too. So it's like that. Like, I don't think Patrick Mahomes is going to be like 30% owned or anything like that.
Yeah, I was going to say Kyler Murray as well. I think Case Keenum's an interesting one, like you mentioned. Baker Mayfield can always break out. I know he gets Baltimore, but again, it's Baker Mayfield. He's got some weapons. He's going to be very low owned, and I think there's a chance that he could be the QB1 this week. Now, it's a very small chance, but it's much higher than his projected ownership is. So he's an interesting one to me as well. And then Gardner Minshew, just because he can run, he's going to be under pressure. I think he's going to scramble for 50-plus yards.
No, you're not talking about Minshew. We're not talking about Gardner Minshew as an option. No. I'm cutting you off. This is my cutoff. This is my Bobby, you've gone too far moment. Because Gardner Minshew's not going to win you a tournament. Baker Mayfield, I like that call, though. I do. He in two games against Baltimore last year, 718 yards and 4 touchdowns. And that defense lost a lot of pieces this offseason. We saw Patrick Mahomes do work against them last week. And Mayfield, you know, his offensive line is definitely the concern, and they need to turn that offense around. I've talked about this so much, but Baker Mayfield, I do like that call, but Gardner Minshew, no.
How about Jared Goff back at home?
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Yeah, he has those massive home road splits, and I think that Bucs pass defense was kind of exposed by Daniel Jones last week after looking pretty good the first 2 weeks.
I don't even know if they look good the first 2 weeks, because Cam Newton just missed a ton of throws, and then you go back to week one and Jimmy Garoppolo missed a ton of throws. So it's like, I think they just played, they caught some quarterbacks at some bad times. And I mean, Todd Bowles, they have looked better, especially against the run, but that secondary doesn't have the talent to hang with the wide receivers that the Rams have.
Tags, you thought we were going to move on. I'm going to fight you. I'm not okay with this. Josh Allen was not a good passer last year. Horrible. Cam Newton was never a good passer. Tim Tebow was never a good passer. These guys compiled fantasy points because they can run. Gardner Minshew can run. He's got some weapons. Denver's defense isn't that great. There is a chance that Gardner Minshew puts up a Tyrod Taylor performance, and we've seen Tyrod Taylor be a top five fantasy asset.
Gardner Minshew is not Tyrod Taylor. Jared, can you please shut this down for me?
Yeah, Gardner Minshew can run like Aaron Rodgers can run. You know, he gives you 20, 30 yards, maybe a touchdown here or there, but I wouldn't put Minshew in the same boat as a Josh Allen or Cam Newton as far as rushing upside goes.
56 against Houston, and he did it because he was under pressure. This Jacksonville offensive line is horrible. He's going to have to scramble.
I would put a bet on this one. I wish we had more time, but...
Yeah, well, guess what? You're going to be wearing a Gardner Minshew mustache next week anyway, so we can talk about it. We'll revisit this then. Let's go to the running back position for GPP, where I love Chris Carson against Arizona.
That's who I had, too.
Awesome. Okay, why don't you talk about it then? Sorry for stealing your thunder, man.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe he's not going to be as low-owned as I thought, if you like him too.
I hope it's just me and you, man.
Yeah, I mean, cause I think that's the biggest argument for him, is I think everyone's going to be off him after, you know, the fumbling issues he's had. Rashad Penny still didn't practice on Wednesday. You know, he hurt that hamstring last Friday, so I think there's a pretty good chance he misses this game. Pete Carroll has now said multiple times this week that he's sticking by Chris Carson as the lead back. And again, we've talked about this spot for Seattle against Arizona where the play volume is going to be up. Arizona's rush defense doesn't scare me. They just gave up that huge game to Christian McCaffrey last week.
There's so many other good ones too. Justin Jackson, James White, Adrian Peterson. We already talked about them. Tags, do you have another name?
Yeah, James White was one of my favorite ones. And I think one, Josh Jacobs at 5,100. And I'm saying this because apparently John Gruden has admitted that they haven't used Josh Jacobs as much as they should have, especially in the passing game. And Darius Leonard is still not participating in practice. He suffered a concussion during their week two game, missed last week, and he's still not practicing. So I don't know if he doesn't play, that's like a major downgrade for that defense. And there's like a whole lot of checkdowns that can take place. And knowing that they run a lot of zone coverage, it could prevent someone like Tyrell Williams from going for a big play. So I think Darren Waller and someone like Josh Jacobs would be the main beneficiaries of that. So a guy that might go back to that, you know, 90% workload, if John Gruden's telling the truth here, but at 5,100, I just think he's going to be lower owned.
So Josh Jacobs said he lost 15 pounds when he got sick. And so I ranked him really low last week as a result. Like, okay, sure, maybe he's playing, but he's going to be bad. He was awful. He looked like an entirely different running back than the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, I heard 10 pounds, but either way, he was sick.
He was probably exaggerating. Yeah, 10 pounds is still a lot.
Yeah, that's my guess. But again, we're talking about a guy that could potentially have 90% of his carries against the Colts defense. That's like less than 100% in a role that, you know, we can't find workhorse running backs for 5,100 the most of the time, especially ones that are as explosive as Jacobs is.
The passing game usage has been disappointing for Jacobs so far, but Gruden said this week that he wants to get him more involved going forward. So hopefully he follows through on that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any other running backs you want to mention for GPP, Jared?
I don't.
Okay, I'm going to throw in three more really quick. Leonard Fournette, we know that he can break a big...
Stop!
Leonard Fournette, we know he can break a big run. Todd Gurley, if they ever decide to use him in passing games, I mean, he's going to be at Tampa this week. There's a chance at $6,800 on FanDuel he breaks out. And then Dalvin Cook, horrible matchup against Chicago, but is Dalvin Cook going to get 20-plus touches and his price is deflated as a result? Nobody is going to use him.
If Akeem Hicks is out for Chicago, that's a big loss for them. And like you saw it in the second half against Washington, like they were not getting the pressure on Keenum that they were in the first half. So if Akeem Hicks misses this game, I would upgrade the entire Vikings offense.
Yeah, I'm not sure anyone can stop this Vikings running game right now in Dalvin Cook. So, yeah, I think in tournaments he makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
All right, guys, wide receiver.
We've mentioned him already here, but Hollywood Brown, you know, he hasn't had a huge game since week one, but the usage has been awesome. 25% target share. He has 27 total targets. That's 15th most among wide receivers. He's third among all wide receivers in air yards, so he's getting those shots downfield. And again, the Browns could be without their top two corners again, Denzel Ward, Greedy Williams. So I think, you know, Marquise Brown is going to have a few more big games this season. And I think week four could definitely be one of them.
Yeah, I said I was going to mention Calvin Ridley here. I think the matchup's good for him. 5K ownership suppressed after last week's performance. I also think that Stephon Diggs is a good tournament play. You know, I obviously am very familiar with the Bears, and Prince Amukamara's toast. Like, he doesn't have it. And the safety duo of Eddie Jackson with Clinton Dix back there, it's not as good as it was with Amos. They don't have the chemistry quite yet. Kyle Fuller's been burned a few times. And if Akeem Hicks is out for the Bears, like, Stephon Diggs burned the Bears like repeatedly last year in their matchup together. So like, that was when the Bears defense was playing at their prime. We just saw Terry McLaurin do some work against them. Stephon Diggs at 5,500, no one is going to own him because everybody, like, people are dropping him in redraft leagues, and it's stupid. At 5,500, I'll play Diggs in tournaments.
We've already named all my wide receivers that I wanted to talk about. Paul Richardson, Calvin Ridley, Corey Davis. We haven't mentioned Odell Beckham going up against Baltimore. I know everyone looks at Baltimore and they say, I don't want to do that, but I think he's a solid play as well. And then obviously the cash game guys, Christian Kirk, Terry McLaurin, Kenny Galladay, Marvin Jones, everybody like that.
And if you want to pivot off of like a Tyler Lockett, because I imagine he'll be like highly owned, you couldn't go to a DK at 4,800. He's still leading that team in air yards.
All right, guys, let's close out the show by giving our lock of the week and our stack of the week. Jared, you can start us off. Who's your lock of the week?
My lock of the week is Tyler Lockett. You like that? yeah, and we've talked about him a ton, but he's getting the usage. Matchup's good. Pace is up. I think he's too cheap on all the sites.
Yes, that's a phenomenal call. All right, well, I'll just go with the guy that we talked about quite a bit between us, because I probably would have gone Lockett as well after, like I said, like that was something I found when I started doing lineup construction. He's just too cheap. So I'm going to go with Kerryon Johnson at 5,400. He's going to be in my lineups. That's happening. He's just too cheap for a guy that has a matchup that should, this game should net 60 points between these two teams. I mean, 58 maybe, but that's a lot of points to be scored. He saw tons and tons of work with CJ Anderson out of the lineup. So I'm going to go with Kerryon at 54.
Will Disley for me. There's other tight ends you can use, but his price is just way too good to for me to fade. Okay, let's go stack of the week. Who do you like as a stack for GPP, Jared?
I know Tags will like this one, but I like Matt Stafford to Kenny Galladay.
Yes.
Again, you know, Kerryon Johnson's going to be chalky, so I think sort of pivoting to the Lions passing game and hoping the touchdowns come there make a lot of sense. You know, Galladay was popular last week. He disappointed, but he still saw 8 targets in that game. He's 5th among all wide receivers in air yards, so I think he bounces back in this spot.
So Tex has Gardner Minshew to D.D. Westbrook. I've got Kyler Murray to Christian Kirk.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. I would have went Stafford, Galladay, and I think you could even add Hockenson into that mix. But instead, I mean, Russell Wilson, Lockett, I mean, and Disley, those three together.
All right, guys, that's all for today's show. Jared, really appreciate you coming on.
That was fun, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, and I want to say thanks to the sponsors of today's show, Bombas. You can go to bombas.com/fantasypros for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/fantasypros. I'm telling you, these socks are unbelievably comfortable. And Pristine Auction, where everything is guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources. Go check out what they have for you. I guarantee you're going to find something and a really good value at that. Enter the registration code FANTASYPROS, all one word, for $5 off at sign up at pristineauction.com, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com. And don't forget to sign up for our signed Julian Edelman helmet giveaway at fantasypros.com/contest. And thanks also to Fantasy Draft, who is bringing on the rake-free revolution. You can get your free 7-day trial on your first $1,000 in entry fees at fantasydraft.com, promo code FANTASYPROS. And don't forget to check out our DFS lineup optimizer at fantasypros.com/optimizer. Again, it's going to give you all our ownership projections and make building your lineups really easy and save you a lot of time. That's fantasypros.com/optimizer. For Jared Smalla and Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.